Wherever you listen throughout the world, it's football time in Tennessee.
Here's Tua, stepping back, loads up, looks long, throws, end zone,
touchdown!
Touchdown, Alabama! Devontae Smith, touchdown, Alabama! And the Crimson Tide has once again ascended to the top of the college football mountain.
Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah,
pitches it back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something.
30,
he's
40,
got something.
50.
He's got
40,
it. 40, he's got
20,
it.
20. 10.
He's got
5,
it.
End zone. Touchdown, Titans. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle.
This is the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour with your host, Drake Colley.
And welcome in to the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I am Drake, joined in the studio by Clayton the Claw Harris. And it is March Madness Monday after four frantic days of the March Madness NCAA men's tournament. And the women's tournament is going on also. We are down to the final 16 in the men's. Or Sweet 16, as it's known.
Had 64 on Thursday, down to 16 now.
There you go. And we are down to 24 in the women's. So the women's tournament punched, eight teams punched their way tickets to the women's Sweet 16, and eight more will punch their tickets at the end of tonight.
Correct.
So there are eight games tonight, and we're going to run over that. Schedule, including the Lady Vols, as they are a number six seed in the tournament, and they play NC State tonight, who's a number three seed, and the only other SEC team, women-wise, tonight is Mississippi State, and they play Notre Dame. But anyway, let's get back to March Madness. The Vols, I mean, you know, that's the big story around here. Dalton Connect and the Vols. Advance out of the round of 32 into the Sweet 16 after beating Texas 62-58. And as we all know, and if you didn't know, you're about to know, that is where Coach Rick Barnes for the Vols coached before
he got fired.
He got fired and Tennessee hired him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't pretty. Each team had difficulty scoring, but at this time of the year,
it was a
win's a win.
It was a cold under, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Over-under on that game was like in the high 140s, 146, 147, something. It was a cold under.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I hate to pat myself on the back, but I called a low-scoring game with Big Lou on Friday,
And it was definitely a low scoring game.
Yeah.
But at this time of the year, it's all about surviving. And
absolutely. And number of teams barely did. First, let's talk about the Vols a little bit. Superstar forward Dalton Connect had 18 points and made four crucial free throws with 8.8 seconds or less in the ball game to come out victorious over the burnt orange of University of Texas in Austin. Number two seeded Vols will face the number three seeded Creighton Blue Jays on Friday. That is the late game on Friday, and the Midwest region will now move to Little Caesar Arena in Detroit, which I guess that what is that, pizza?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the Vols didn't have near toughest time. Um, as Oregon did. And Oregon, they came up against, who did we say they came
Creighton.
Up? Oh, that's right. Creighton, the Vols' next opponent, had a pretty tough time disposing of Oregon. And, you know, if you watch that Creighton-Oregon game, Oregon's very athletic,
sure.
tall.
Yeah.
So,
but Creighton's got some guys that can flat out shoot the basketball.
Kolick, is that his name? Mm-hmm. The guard? He's terrific. But they survived a double overtime game against Oregon, won 86-73. They took control in the second overtime. If anybody's wondering what the line on Tennessee-Creighton is, the Vols are a 2.5-point favorite.
That would concern me. I'm just as a Tennessee fan, that would concern me just because, I mean, if you look at the two teams, you would think Tennessee would be the favorite. But 2 points, I mean, the general public's going to think Tennessee's going to win this game, and they're going to bet on Tennessee, which usually means that Vegas knows that Creighton's probably, in all honesty, it's either the line to them is probably either even or Creighton's.
Right, a coin flip.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, according to University of Texas head coach Rodney Terry, he was talking about Connect after the game, and he said, quote, a guy with star power like Connect, he said, that's really a hard one-on-one matchup to cover him. That can take the game. A guy like Connect can take the game over. That gives you an opportunity to be in the Elite Eight. Tennessee has that, he says. He could carry them, talking about Connect, he could carry them down the stretch. And Clayton, with him just having basically 14 points in that game against Texas up until he hits the four free throws with under 10 seconds to go.
Right.
I mean, he's kind of, in my opinion, he's kind of due for one of those
good
30, yeah. 35-point breakout games.
Yeah, I kept thinking while I was watching that game, if you were going to beat Tennessee, this would have been the game to do it. Unfortunately for Texas, they didn't have anybody that could score. They were just so out of sync offensively.
I mean, they play great defense, like the Vols play great defense.
But,
you know.
But offensively, they're just atrocious. But again, it's all about surviving and advancing. And Tennessee, they survived, they advanced, they did a great job. And I believe you said this is Rick Barnes' second Sweet 16
appearance. Right, this is his second
with Tennessee.
Second Sweet 16 appearance as head coach of Tennessee. He lost the previous two times in the round of Sweet 16.
So my question is, how many years has he been at Tennessee? I'm thinking it's probably close to 10 years, and I'll check.
I would say 8 at least.
So they've been twice in 8 years.
Right.
Since Sweet 16.
Nate Oates has taken Alabama what?
3 out of the last 4.
3 out of the last 4 to the Sweet 16?
2 in a row. Yeah.
2 in a row. Okay. And we're not comparing we're not saying, you know, one comparing one to the other. We're just stating facts. You can make your own opinions and assumptions from that, but and speaking of Alabama, that's the only other SEC team to advance after Texas A&M played their hearts out against number one seeded Houston, but they lost in overtime 100-95. But, I mean, Texas A&M played probably one of the best games of the whole year and did not win.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was a great game. By the way, Rick Barnes, this is his 10th season.
Oh, this is his 10th year.
10th year, yeah.
Okay.
So, but yes. I mean, you watched that game that was in Memphis last night between Houston and Texas A&M. It's unbelievable that Houston was able to survive overtime with 4 starters fouled out. I mean, A&M drew up a great inbounds play with a second and a half left on underneath their own basket on the baseline, threw a bounce pass to a guy out top who just nailed a 3 to tie it. They went on a
with 1.2 seconds to go. It was incredible.
They went on a 13-3 run in the last minute 17 of the ball game. I had actually flipped it off and started watching Curb Your Enthusiasm that I had recorded It was a new episode that came out last night. And I got a text message in my little group message with my buddies that said, this is unbelievable. So, of course, I had to flip it back over to the game, end up going to overtime. Great game. Got to give A&M a lot of credit. They fought their rear ends off. But Houston's a number one seed for a reason. They're a good team. Kelvin Sampson's a great coach. And, again, it's just like the Tennessee game. Wasn't pretty, but you survive and you advance. And that's all that matters. Now all these teams have a few days off before they start playing again on Thursday and Friday. And you just got to take it one game at a time. So I tell you what's interesting, though. You look at Alabama. They're out there in the Western bracket, Western region. They're in Spokane, Washington. Now they got to go to Los Angeles. On the flip side of that, you have San Diego State, who was a winner last night over Yale. They're heading to the East Coast because they're in the Eastern bracket. North Carolina, also in the Western bracket, is who Alabama will face on Thursday. So, you got to give credit, though, to the tournament committee. They did a great job at seeding this tournament. I believe this is only the fifth time in the tournament history that all ones and twos, the one seeds and two seeds, that's a total of eight teams. They are all advancing to the Sweet 16.
Well, Ken Pomeroy, who has this kind of equation of the Ken Pom ratings of efficiency on offense and defense, right?
Yep.
Well, he has an article out on Bleacher Report, and it talks about the Sweet 16 and whether these games should be on upset alert or not. Now, Tennessee, a 2.5-point favorite. I'm not sure if you pick Creighton, it's really an upset type alert.
No, because they're a three seed. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Well, they're a three seed, and Tennessee, what's a two?
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, it's, yeah.
Well, this, according to Ken Pomeroy, he says that the upset meter is high on this game.
And by numbers, it would be an upset, but, I mean, Creighton's a daggum good team.
Absolutely, they are. He says that the upset meter is pointing to high, and these two teams match up extremely well with a slight edge to the Volunteers for their superior defense. He says both teams have, serious offensive firepower. Both have experienced guards, and both can make an impact on the defensive end also. So buckle up for a great game. And, that is what it is. So we'll see what happens. And that's the late game
Friday.
On Friday out of Detroit, right?
Detroit, Little Caesars Arena.
Little Caesars Pizza Arena in Detroit. Like I said, the South is going to be played in Dallas, the East in Boston, and the Alabama Crimson Tide is staying out on the West Coast after playing at Spokane and advancing Sweet 16, only other SEC team besides the Vols to represent the SEC in the Sweet 16. They are staying out on the West Coast because they play in Los Angeles on Thursday night. Yeah. They're the late game Thursday night.
Correct.
Vols are late game Friday night. So we'll see what happens. Alabama is getting 4.5,
which is
according to the bookmakers from North Carolina,
which is
a number one seed,
which is encouraging to me. I mean, if I'm making the line, I'm saying North Carolina
minus 10.
I'm saying 10. They have more faith in Bama than I do, which tells me they like this matchup. So because again, the general public is going to say, North Carolina is going to beat Alabama by more than 4.5 points, and all the money is going to go on North Carolina. And what typically happens when that happens is Alabama is going to find a way to cover or win the game, and Vegas is going to make a lot of money.
Well, I just, after watching Alabama and Grand Canyon University, coached by
Bryce Drew,
former Vanderbilt Commodore head coach Bryce Drew, who was also a March Madness kind of darling story when Vanderbilt hired him.
Yeah, he played at Valparaiso and made that huge shot against Ole Miss in the late 90s, early 2000s. I think his father was the head coach at Valparaiso.
Okay.
But, yeah, he comes from a family of coaches. Took Vanderbilt to the NCAA tournament, something that they haven't experienced in a while now, and maybe have second thoughts on maybe getting rid of Bryce Drew. But we'll have more info about Vandy basketball coming up here in just a few. But
yeah, there's a big announcement about Vanderbilt Commodores basketball. They found a head coach. You guys hang on the next segment. We'll talk about that a little bit.
But the Antelopes weren't bad. They weren't a bad team at all.
No, but they talked about Grand Canyon's ability on the very tremendously athletic. I mean, there was some shot blocking going on. They were up and down the floor. They played a very high-pressure type of defense, but on the offensive end, and Sir Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith and the guys, the analysts on the March Madness in-between games or after games or whatever the deal was, halftime panel, they talked about the inability of the Antelopes of Grand Canyon on the offensive end of the court.
That they play just a bunch of one-on-one basketball. They went four low, and they just basically picked the guy that you know, whoever it was, to play one-on-one. And Charles Barkley was quoted after the game saying it was the dumbest basketball he's ever seen in his life.
Tyon Foster was kind of their Tyon Grant Foster.
Grant Foster, yeah.
Okay, I mean, he was their
guy.
You know? And so they would just kind of clear out on the offensive end and let him just take whoever to one-on-one. And
yeah, I mean, and in the first half, what was crazy, they took a lot of outside shots, and then in the second half, they really tried focusing on scoring in the paint. And, they ended up coming back, taking a lead there, under 10 minutes to go in the second half, and Bama was able to find a way back. And you got to give credit to Mark Sears. We had a freshman power forward come off the bench. Can't think of his name right now, but he was able to score a couple of baskets that were
big. Walters?
No, it was I can't even say his last name. It's
okay.
I don't even want to attempt because okay. I'll butcher
right.
it so bad.
All right.
But he's a freshman, came off the bench, played well. And you got to give Nick Pringle credit. He played well late in the game and
He got fired up.
He did.
He got fired up when he looked like there was a hook and hole and a guy kind of wrenched down on his shoulder on a rebound and kind of tossed him down and pulled him out of the way. He took exception to it, and a teammate of his tried to calm him down, and he wasn't having any of that either. And after that, he played a little bit of some inspired ball. I don't know if that – I mean, Pringle's been playing much better this year than last, but he was not happy with any of that shenanigans going on by Grand Canyon. So.
Now, the guy I was talking about, his name is Muhammad Diabate.
Okay.
I think I said that right.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But he's a 6'7 freshman from Queens, New York, went to the Putnam Science Academy. He stepped up huge, and Alabama, unfortunately, in the first half of the ball game, Latrell Reitzel got another head injury. The senior transferred in from Cal Fullerton, I believe. Don't know what his status is going to be Thursday. He's one of the top scorers on the team. That's going to be big. If he's able to play, then Alabama will have a chance. But, again, as an Alabama fan, I'm just happy we're in the Sweet 16 because I'll be honest with you. The way the season ended was very uninspiring.
Absolutely.
And for us to be in the Sweet 16 2 years in a row, I was telling you before, this is the first time Bama – has been in the Sweet 16 2 years in a row since I was in kindergarten. That was the 1990-91 season when Wimp Sanderson was still the coach at Alabama. So a great job by Nate Oates. There's a reason why they signed him to that long-term extension with an $18 million buyout because he's worth every daggum
thing. Right, and they don't want anybody else coming after him.
No, because Michigan was going to make a play.
Sure they were. Other games on Saturday, Illinois took care of Duquesne, no problem. NC State and Oakland went to overtime, and NC State won by 6, so number 14 seed Oakland had their season, Cinderella season, ended. Iowa State easily took care of Washington State by 21. North Carolina disposed of Michigan State. Gonzaga, here they go again. You know, I mean,
9 years in a row to the Sweet 16? That's insane.
That's strong.
It's unreal.
They took care of Kansas by 21 points. Sit down, Kansas. And Dayton, excuse me, lost to Arizona by 20. We're going to go over Sunday scores when we get back from this break. This is the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I'm sitting in the studio with Clayton the Claw. Do not go anywhere. We got a big announcement on the way back.
This is Coach Tredarius Goff from Columbia Central High School Football. You are listening to 101.7 WKOM in Columbia, Tennessee.
Hi, I'm Robert Rogers at Parks Motor Sales Buick GMC. Parks Motor Sales was founded by my granddad, Bobby Parks, and my great-granddad, Julian Mays, in 1958. We've been family-owned the whole time, and being family-owned, locally-owned, means you get to get your next vehicle or your existing vehicle serviced by the same people who stand in the grocery line with you, drop their kids off at the same school you do, and smile and are happy to see you when they do. So come see us at Parks Motor Sales in Columbia, Tennessee on 919 Nashville Highway or parksmotorsales.com.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. Are you new to Maury County? We want to welcome you and your family. We are a local residential garbage service, and we want to be your garbage man. We've been around for over 30 years, so we have a reputation. Check us out at garbagemaninc.com or call Mike at 931-540-0919. You could also ask your neighbor. 931-540-0919.
Hi, this is Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. Here is what some of our customers are saying about us. Great people, the place to shop for fair prices and great craftsmanship, beautiful vintage and custom jewelry. Thank you, Beth. That is our goal. Stop by and see for yourself. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia. Owned and operated by Rick, custom designer, and Carrie, registered gemologist. Assuring you the best jewelry value and expert services.
Hey, this is Tripp Stoltz, owner of Columbia Ace Hardware. Spring is here, and we are excited to announce that we have completely remodeled our store. We have expanded our selection in many brands, including Milwaukee, Steel, and Big Green Egg. We have new inventory arriving daily, so come see the changes for yourself at 112 East James Campbell Boulevard, Columbia, Tennessee.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Do you have trees that need trimming or removed? Do you have stumps that you want ground? A1 Tree Removal is a family-owned and operated business local to Columbia and Lewisburg and servicing surrounding Middle Tennessee. They are licensed and insured and provide free estimates. No job is too big, no tree is too small. Give old Luke a call or text Luke at 931-359-3113. Or you can check them out on Facebook and tell A1 Tree Removal that you heard this ad on the radio. If you love America, you will love A1 Tree Removal.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
This is Elk Kennedy. The old saying is, happy wife, happy life, couldn't be more true. Many years ago, my wife, Mary Susan, had major surgery on her back, but continued with chronic pain. Doctors were saying invalid, disabled, but then she found the Dr. Gill Center for Back, Neck, and Chronic Pain in Franklin, Tennessee. It has changed our lives. We visited there recently with Dr. Wendy Tuohy, saw the state-of-the-art facilities. Folks, don't take a pill. Call Dr. Gill.
Go to callmepainfree.com. Hey, this is Seth Moss at Tennessee Valley Equipment, a premier FAE Primetech, Bandit, and Shurex dealer. We are your dealer for all of your land clearing and forestry mulching needs. We sell equipment, provide repair service, and parts along with a rental fleet of mulching equipment. We also offer mulching teeth, blades, and sharpening. Our number one priority is getting you up and running as quickly and affordable as possible. Tennessee Valley is located at 300 Santa Fe Pike in wonderful Columbia, Tennessee. Stop by or give us a call today at 931-981-9812.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
This is Tripp Stoltz with Columbia Ace Hardware. I love listening to 101.7 WKOM FM, Columbia, Tennessee.
The Mules are back in town. Celebrate Mule Day's 50th anniversary, April 4th to 7th in downtown Columbia. All of your favorite Mule Day events are back. Jackpot Mule Races, Log Pulling, Auctioneers Championship, Miss Mule Day Pageant, the Driving and Gated Mule Shows, Liars Contest, and so much more. Don't miss the Mule Day Parade, 11 a.m. Saturday, April 6th. Mule Day's 50th anniversary, April 4th through the 7th in downtown Columbia. Visit MuleDay.com for a complete schedule of events.
Hey Daddy, when you gonna stop playing? Yeah, chick, I could be a fantasy. I could tell you got big, big energy. It ain't too many of them that can handle me. But I might let you try it out the Hennessy. Make them sing to this thing like a melody. And if your girl ain't right, I got the remedy.
And welcome back into the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I am Drake, joined in the studio. Clayton, the Claw, Harris. I'm getting it right today. Kept calling you Big Lou last week when you were in for Big Lou on Thursday.
I would have loved to have watched that Texas game with Big Lou. I bet he was sweating bullets, man.
Well, they didn't, you know. They
found a way.
They found a way to push through, and that's what good teams do.
Exactly.
And the Vols are definitely a good basketball team.
You got that right. Yep.
Okay, the big news up in Nashville. Over on West End, the Vanderbilt Commodores have found a new coach in Mark Byington, B-Y-I-N-G-T-O-N. Mark Byington was hired away from James Madison University.
And I got a couple of thoughts on that. Number one, I think it's a good hire. Now, I've been sitting here thinking about this since we found out just a little while ago. I don't know if it's really that he's that great of a coach or if it's the culture of James Madison right now, because they have a good baseball team. Their football team won a couple of national titles.
So their football team was undefeated up until their 10th game in the of the season
right,
or something.
And they just moved to Division I, and they had to get an exemption to be able to play in a bowl game. So and Kurt Cignetti's the head coach there. So I don't know if it's the culture, but – regardless, a great hire, I feel like, for Vanderbilt. And I think you'll see some improvement. I'm kind of shocked that he left James Madison, because they are really starting to cement themselves as a school that's really good at athletics. And if you've
I think they've made that commitment. I think they've put that that so-called athletic foot forward and realized that how important athletics is
on your campus
to a college as a whole.
Well,
what a big piece of the pie it is, along with academics, whatever else you want to put in there. But I mean, sports has to be a part of what you're doing nowadays in a university setting, college setting.
It makes it appealing. It was rated for the longest time as one of the top public universities in the country. And if you've ever been to Harrisonburg, it's a beautiful place. It's right there in the Shenandoah Valley. So, for him to leave, he must feel very confident that, number one, he can win at Vanderbilt, which has been done before. Number two, he's going to make more money, I'm sure. And like you mentioned during the break, he's going to the SEC.
I think it's a upgrade in conferences for sure. And he probably gets a step up in pay. And, you know, Nashville's kind of this sexy southern town for – A-listers, and I'm not saying a head coach of Vanderbilt is an A-lister, but you're looked up to in the community. You're put on a pedestal. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons for him to move, I think, to Nashville and take that Vanderbilt job.
The question is the Vanderbilt athletic department going to make the same commitment that you just talked about at James Madison? Think about it, Drake. They could use the city of Nashville as a recruiting tool to make Vanderbilt a happening place. And, you know, up until this point, you saw a little bit of that magic with James Franklin a decade ago when he was the football coach there. So we'll see. But Vanderbilt basketball has always been competitive. Memorial Gymnasium's always been a very cool place to watch a basketball game. They called it the Memorial Magic. It's obviously lost its magic over the last couple of years, and hopefully this guy can bring it back.
There you go. Scores from Sunday, and these teams all advancing to the Sweet 16. We talked about Alabama, 4 seed over number 12. Tell you what, if you took the favorites yesterday,
yeah,
you would have kicked the bookies rear end all over the place. He'd be sorry. He didn't want to see you come payday. I promise you, if you just took the favorites. Alabama wins by 11, covers a 5.5-point spread over Grand Canyon. San Diego State wins by almost 30 over Yale. I mean, that game wasn't even close. Houston, of course, Texas A&M was an underdog that covers. Houston won 100-95 over a terrific game that went into overtime. Connecticut just disposed of Northwestern, covered 13.5 points as they win by almost 20.
Remind me after you get done giving the scores what a friend of ours said about Connecticut.
Okay. Clemson started the season out 9. Oh, let's go back to James Madison. By the way, they hired away Byington. They started the season out 14-0. They didn't lose a game until into January. Madison basketball didn't.
They got the culture right up there.
So, Clemson, they were a 4.5-point underdog to Baylor. They covered and beat the number 3 seed Baylor 72-64. And, you know, Clemson might be a dark horse. Those guys, they went down to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
And took care of business against Alabama earlier in the season. They started out their season 9-0.
I wonder when the last time two brothers lost on the same day of the NCAA tournament. Because that happened yesterday.
Who was that?
The Drew brothers.
Oh, that's right.
Baylor and Grand Canyon.
There you go.
Interesting.
We just talked about James Madison. They almost got beat by 40 by Duke. Duke looked really good.
Duke looked like the Duke of old.
Absolutely. Yeah. Another favorite, Purdue, 106-67, almost beat Utah State by 40.
Did you watch any of that game? Have you watched Purdue much at all?
I've seen them once or twice this year.
As an official, I'm just curious. I mean, it just appears to me that Edie gets away with quite a bit. He is very physical, especially on the offensive end of the floor.
Just kind of pushing people out of the way.
He bullies them. I mean, almost to the point where it's like, that's a foul. Should be a foul.
Marquette won by 4. Did not. They were favored by 4.5. Hope you guys got it at 4 if you took the favorite. But they won by 4 over a tough Colorado squad.
Yep.
81-77. So our Sweet 16s are set. Like I said, Tennessee will play the late Friday game.
And you can hear that game on our
against
sister
Creighton
our sister station 103.7 and 1340 WKRM.
If you guys can't be out and you can listen, or you could be at home, turn down the volume, turn up the Vols network broadcast on 103.7 FM. And you can hear Alabama on Thursday night.
On this station.
On 101.7. So we're carrying both of the SEC teams that are in the tournament. We're carrying their games right here on our station's signals, 101.7, 103.7, moving forward. So tune in, listen, and, if you can't be around a TV, turn us on, go on Front Porch Radio TN.com and pull up the live stream of the broadcasts that are on the radio in case you can't get around to television. Or some people like just turn down the television volume and turn up the radio. NCAA women's basketball, like I said, eight teams have punched their ticket to the Sweet 16 with eight more to go tonight. Texas beat Alabama, so Alabama's not in it anymore. Carly Weathers out of Loretta had 5 points as Texas won 65-54. LSU and Kemp coach, crazy coach Kim Mulkey, and we're going to talk about her in just a minute. They were down by 4 points, 36-32, to coach Rick Ensel and the MTSU Lady Raiders. So are they the Lady Raiders, Clayton? Is that what they call the Lady Raiders?
The Lady Raiders.
Well, they had the number three team, LSU, in LSU, down 4 points at half, but Angel Reese and company took control in the second half, and LSU won that game 83-56. South Carolina, the number one team, who played probably a pretty big rival, North Carolina, in the Battle of the Carolinas. They played earlier in the season. South Carolina won by 7, right? Yep. Well, they played yesterday. South Carolina won by 47.
Good.
88-41.
Good.
And great. Duke, the women's team, upset the number two seed Ohio State 75-63. And like I said, there are eight games scheduled tonight or today. Mississippi State against Notre Dame. And the number six Lady Vols take on the number three seed NC State as they look to round out the field of women's Sweet 16 by the end of the evening. Now, there's a lot of talk about the head coach for LSU, Kim Mulkey. Are you familiar with what's going on? I mean, Clayton,
somewhat. I heard her press conference, and if what she's saying is true, it would upset me that if you denied a reporter comment or didn't agree to meet with them to give comment, and that same reporter calls former coaches and says, "Hey, I'm with Coach Mulkey and would like to interview," that's kind of misleading a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. If the reporter misrepresented
right.
what now.
Right, right. Exactly.
Now,
yeah.
Now, is she deflecting on what the reporter is trying to report about?
See, we don't know what it is. But
well, I kind of have an idea.
Okay.
Brittany Griner.
Yeah.
The
former Baylor Bear.
Three-time player of the year.
Yeah.
Won, like, two or three championships while she was at Baylor under
Kim Mulkey,
head coach Kim Mulkey, was on a podcast, in an interview podcast with somebody, and was talking about her playing days under Kim Mulkey at Baylor. And she talked about her sexual orientation. Brittany Griner's. Okay.
Kim Mulkey was talking about it, or
Brittany Griner was talking about her own sexual
okay.
orientation.
Yeah.
She said, "I've never, ever in my life been, I've been out, always out front that I am gay. I'm a lesbian. And it's not to, I'm not pulling any punches or trying to be secret about it." She said, "But however, at Baylor, which is a Christian related university,
it's a Baptist college."
Yeah. She said that Kim Mulkey asked her to tap that down. Keep that quiet. Don't bring it up. Nobody's business. You shouldn't be talking about it. And in today's world, you know, you can take that however you want it. Whether Kim Mulkey was trying to please the powers that be at Baylor University, because in the Baylor handbook, it even talks about the only relationships on campus or between students should be the one a biblical type relationship. And that is man and a woman, not a woman and a woman, not a man and a man,
but it's talked about in the handbook. And so when this was brought up between Mulkey, as supposedly, and Griner, Mulkey instructed her to keep it quiet. Well, so now Kim Mulkey's moved on after 20-something years at Baylor.
Yeah.
She's the highest. She makes $3.5 million a year coaching women's basketball at LSU. And so there's a reporter that's trying to dig up some stuff and just get some questions answered about her relationship with her players at Baylor and her players at LSU and whether she – if this is true, and she's instructed her players that are gay, which probably I would say there is a higher percentage that she might run into players of that sexual orientation in women's basketball or, you know, women's sports in general. I mean, you just do. I don't know how to say it. But the thing about it, hang on, let me finish my thought. The thing about it is she trying not giving the interview, or is she calling it she's calling it a hit job by this reporter? She said that he did a hit job on Brian Kelly, football coach, and she didn't like that. She wasn't going to give this reporter the time of day because of the hit piece that she did on Brian Kelly. Or is she just not being upfront and honest and saying, yeah, I told her to keep that quiet because of who I work for and what our policies are at Baylor and so forth. Now, moving forward, is it a good look as far as recruiting players, players in the future? Did she want to keep that out of the papers in order to not look as though, you know, if you come and play for me, you can be a superstar basketball player, but that's about it.
Well, Brittany Griner was at Baylor and started her freshman year in 2009. Okay. The country has changed a lot since 2009. You know, in 2008, you had two presidential candidates who were both against gay marriage. Now it's the law of the land. So the world's changed. And they were at a private university where, like you mentioned, they're a big Baptist university. So, you know, to me, Mulkey, by just telling them to keep it quiet, is probably a good thing. It probably could have resulted in expulsion if she wanted to push the issue and tell the administration. She just told them to keep it quiet. So it's a very touchy situation.
But like you said, times have changed. Keeping it quiet back in 08, telling somebody 08 and 09 to keep it tapped down and quiet,
right,
as opposed to today, 2023-24.
Shouldn't be any tapping it down today.
No, there shouldn't be any tapping.
She's at a public university. I don't know. This is where an interview would help.
Maybe she just should clear just come this, out and say, and you know, it's yeah. who I work for. It's right. a university. It's a Baptist university. You know, there was stuff that we wanted to win basketball games. We didn't find it necessary to put our business out in front. And I can understand that.
Yeah.
But to sit here and accuse reporters of being sleazy and the media being sleazy and all stuff, I think he's just trying to get some questions answered, and she's just pushing back on him like, I'm not going to give this guy the time of day because he's sleazy. Well, I don't know. Coach Mulkey in your rhinestone outfits and, you know, feathered boa coaching attire, you know, if you're that out front and that loud, then just face the music and give the interview and move on.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see when the article comes out. It's probably going to be one of the most read articles regarding women's basketball ever. So,
right. And she better phrase it right, or she's going to have a tough time recruiting some players in the future.
Because you could argue that she's kind of brought more attention to this
by not doing
it. Right. So we'll see.
This is the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. The Claw and I'll be right back.
This is Jim Ross, and you are listening to Front Porch Radio, WKOM 101.7, located in Columbia, Tennessee.
Celebrate you with a new vehicle from Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia. We have a huge selection of new vehicles waiting for you. We're talking cars, trucks, and SUVs. And if you're in the business of selling your vehicle, we've got you covered. We'll buy from you even if you don't buy from us. At Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia, we're locally owned and operated and proud to serve our community as the largest CDJR dealership in Tennessee. Find your new ride today when you visit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia.
I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. We have advertised with WKRM and WKOM for the past several years and found it to be very successful. I highly recommend advertising with them if you have a local business like ours. We're located at 1608 Hatcher Lane here in Columbia. We're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 6 and Saturdays from 8 to 2. Stop by Holland's for all your prescription needs where we have fast, friendly, courteous service. We custom fit support hose for you also. Thanks for supporting Holland's and WKRM and WKOM.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hey, this is Derek Ransom of Ten Pin Alley, voted number one family entertainment center in Murray County. We offer 32 bowling lanes, giant arcade, laser tag, bumper cars, and a full cafe and bar menu. We also specialize in group events, kids and adult birthday parties, company parties, sports team parties, and holiday parties. We're located at 322 East James Campbell Boulevard in Columbia. Call us today at 931-381-BOWL or visit us at tenpin.com. Ten Pin Alley, it's where the good times roll.
In today's uncertain world, you can never be too careful about your family's financial future. That's why the Parker Group, a part of Baird's Private Wealth Management, is offering a free second opinion on your financial plans. Let us review your current plan, and we will identify any gaps and offer suggestions to improve it. Please call the Parker Group at 931-548-3737. That's 931-548-3737. Robert W. Baird & Company Incorporated does not offer tax or legal advice.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Farmer Johnny here, Taylor Family Farm. I want to give you all a little look-see. We raise 100% non-GMO grass-fed beef, pasture chicken, and pork on our family farm. Everything that we grow is raised with love and care to ensure the highest quality and nutrition for our family and customers. You can shop online at TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com or visit our farm store in person at Etheridge, Tennessee at 301 Dave Reisner Road. That's TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com for more information.
The generations that have paved the way for us deserve respect, integrity, and compassion. This is Kelly Dobson, owner of Caring Hearts Home Healthcare. My grandmother and mother started this business in 2005, and I was honored to take over in 2012. Licensed and insured, we help our aging community stay in the comfort of their own homes. Online at CaringHeartsHomeHealthcareLLC.com, by phone 931-381-5470, or in person at 1121 Trotwood Avenue here in Columbia. That's Caring Hearts Home Healthcare.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
This is Coach Devin Simler from Columbia Central Baseball. You are listening to 101.7 WKOM in Columbia, Tennessee.
And welcome back into the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I am Drake in the studio with the Claw, all-knowing, all-seeing, Clayton Harris. It is March Madness Monday, or Monday after March Madness. A lot of news today. New coach at Vanderbilt, Mark Byington from James Madison University. Where was James Madison's nickname?
The Dukes.
Are they the Dukes like Duquesne?
Yes.
Okay, the Dukes of James Madison. Mm-hmm. Other big news over the weekend, Legarius Sneed from the world champion, Super Bowl 57 champion Kansas City Chiefs, cornerback, reportedly has signed and come to terms with the Tennessee Titans and will be a Titan, along with Awuzie from Cincinnati.
Yep.
And he's going to be one of the highest paid cornerbacks in the NFL. What do you think about that? I mean, you know. From where the Titans were defensively in their defensive backfield, any move is up. Would you not agree with that?
I mean, I agree. I think anything will help at this point. Funny, we have a listener that just texted me. Our buddy James Dickinson, Coach James Dickinson.
Yeah.
He says, "Hey Clayton, what time does Auburn basketball play this week?" He's got jokes.
I don't know. Are they playing a pickup game? Is it a pickup?
I didn't know. Oh, man.
Okay, according to the Buffalo News, the Bills Mafia, and to be a member of the Bills Mafia is going to cost a little bit more when their new stadium gets built. And you all think about the Bills are building an indoor big billion-dollar stadium just like the Titans are doing in Nashville on the East Bank.
Probably smart considering the weather.
Yes. Mafia members in line to get the best seats, and that's club level and suite seats.
Yeah.
Their personal seat licensing fees.
PSLs.
Yes, it's called a PSL. Will range between $15,000 and $50,000 a seat.
For an NFL game.
Now, that is for a club level. That's for a club level or suite seat. That's a lot of money.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, that's a bunch of money.
I think I'll save my money and watch it on television.
Now, Melissa Taylor, who is a Buffalo fan, her family has had season tickets for 56 years.
Wow.
She learned that the PSLs for her seats will cost $20,000 each. When the new venue opens up in a couple of years, 2026, she said, quote, "It was heartbreaking," she told the Buffalo News. "I walked out of there thinking, do I just have two seasons left to go see the Bills play?"
And here's the thing, folks. That money does not cover what the season tickets cost. That's just to get the seat, to buy the seat.
PSLs, well, let's see. The Bills won't bat an eye. The Bills really don't care. Bills needed to come up with a significant private contribution to the cost of the new stadium. And the PSL is one of the ways to pass the hat around, which is really what it is. Season ticket holders are paying a fictitious surcharge for the ability to buy tickets, just like Titans fans will be for their PSLs. And that's helping the Bills supplement the taxpayer money that they'll be getting anyway.
Just throwing it
just
on
like
the
Titans will.
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
It's a damn shame.
It is.
The Nashville Predators folks extend their franchise record of consecutive points scored, not goals, to 17 as Philip Forsberg scored the only goal with 5:14 remaining in the third period on Saturday as they beat the Detroit Red Wings 1-0 in Smashville. The Preds sit comfortably in the Western Conference. They are the top wild card spot right now with 88 points with just about 10 games to go. They have won – Philip Forsberg has scored 6 goals in his last 5 games. And during this current streak, the Preds have outscored their opponents 34-12 in the third period. They're playing some terrific hockey. Major League Baseball opens up Thursday.
Yes, sir.
The Braves are at Philadelphia, St. Louis at the Dodgers, Cubs at the Rangers, Yankees at Houston, Washington at Cincinnati. The next victim for the Predators are the Las Vegas Knights as they come to Smashville tomorrow night. Thank you for joining us. This has been the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. For the Claw, I'm Drake. We're out.